Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for all Your goodness to us. And we thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures. We thank Thee that Thou hast given them into our hand, and given them unto us in our own tongue. And You've given us eyes and minds, Lord, to understand and see the Word. But, O God, we need the special power of the Holy Ghost even now. Because, Lord, the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. Lord Jesus, I would remember unto Thee the promise that Thou didst make. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Great God and Father in heaven, I beg and implore Thee now that the Holy Ghost from heaven might come down upon this congregation, and that Thy Word might become a fire in our hearts and lives. And, O Lord, that we might be exhorted with a passion to go out and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. Lord, hear our humble prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. If I were to give a title to this message that I bring to you today, it would be either "O Dead, the Prophet," or "The Power of the Preaching of the Word of God." Now, to help us in our understanding of the particular chapter that we read, 2 Chronicles in chapter 28, the first 15 verses we read in your hearing, I think a few remarks would help us in our understanding of what we would have to say today. After the death of King Saul and King David, when King Rehoboam came to the throne of Israel, we find that in his days, the kingdom of Israel, the 12 tribes, were divided into two parties. There were two tribes in the north, Benjamin and Judah. And they were called the Kingdom of Judah, and their capital city was Jerusalem. But the other tribes formed what was called the Kingdom of Israel, and another name would be Ephraim, and they were in the south of the country, and their capital was the city of Samaria. And as the kingdom was divided in two, each part, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, had a succession of kings over them. So remember, there was the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, and the kingdom of Israel, which was in the south. So here we have the kingdom divided. But in the days of the reading of our scripture, this particular chapter reads mainly about a certain king, Ahaz. He was a king of the north, the kingdom of Judah. And this whole chapter, in a sense, is about his particular reign, his rise to the throne at the opening verses. And at the end of the chapter, it records his death. Now, before I would get into the substance of what I would have to say today, I want to make some remarks about this particular king, Ahaz, king of Judah. The first remark would be, or the first observation, was that he was a wicked, ungodly man. If you look there in verse 1 of this chapter, it says that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 2, he made images for Balaam. He raised up idols. He corrupted the worship of God. He, in a sense, invented his own religion and had his own gods. And also in verse 3, you'll read how he burnt incense on the high places and places where there were trees, incense to these false gods. And not only that, but even on occasion, he went into the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his own offspring in sacrifice to a false idol. How far down can a man go in sin? And so he was a very wicked man before God. If you look at in 2 Kings chapter 16, which also speaks about this king, in verse 24 it tells us that he shut up the doors of the house of God. And also in that chapter, you'll read how he went to Damascus to meet with the king of Assyria. And while he was there, he saw a great altar. And he was impressed with this altar. And he took the design of it and the form of it. And he must have transcribed it. But he sent it back to the high priest in Jerusalem and got him to make an altar like it. And he pushed the altar of God out of the road. And he put up his idol that he fancied. And he fancied it because of the fashion of it. So I say to you this morning, this man was a very rebellious man against God. He broke the commandments of God. And he had no time for the word of God. King Ahaz was a wicked man. I wonder, is there anybody here in this service today? And some of these things would describe you. You're a rebel against God. You have no time for His word. But you're found here amongst God's people. May God speak to you today. And may you be reconciled to Him and get right with God. That's the first point about this King Ahaz. The second observation is this. If you would look there in chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, the chapter previous, you'll find that his father was a good man. And then if you go to the chapter before that, chapter 26, you'll find that his grandfather was a good man. Good King Uzziah. And then even if you go further back in chapter 25, his great-grandfather was a godly man, King Amaziah. A man who did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But yet this man, King Ahaz, was a most stubborn and stiff-necked rebel against the Lord and his word and his law. And another thing that impresses me in looking at this man, it is an amazing fact to me that his son, the son that succeeded him on the throne, was that good King Hezekiah, that mighty man of God. But here's this man in the middle of all these godly, good men, lovers of God. And he's totally gone astray. That's the second thing. And the third thing, if you would like to turn with me to two particular scriptures, you'll see what I mean. If you return to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, you will read these words. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And then, if you were to turn over in Isaiah to chapter 7 and verses 1 and verses 10, and there's other places, that this king Ahaz is mentioned. And then if you were to turn further over in the Bible to the prophet Hosea, which is immediately after Daniel, and to chapter 1 and verse 1, you will read these words. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So if you think with me, if we're thinking right here from the word of God, this wicked king Ahaz had great men of God surrounding him, great prophets of the Lord, like Isaiah and Hosea. So, and also in our chapter, you will read about another prophet whom I want to speak about today, the prophet Oded. But this man, King Ahaz, rebelled. And he turned a deaf ear to the word of God and the counselors of God. No doubt that these men, these prophets of the Lord, brought to him. One last observation about this king before we continue on. If you return to the New Testament, to the very first chapter, where it has the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 9, you would read these words, "And Oseas," which is the New Testament speaking for Uzziah, "begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz." That's our king Ahaz. "And Ahaz begat Ezekias," that is Hezekiah. And so here we learn of a marvelous fact, that this wicked, stubborn, rebellious man against God is actually in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a marvelous fact? That it was, he was, the Lord Jesus was descended through this king. So I have introduced you this morning and spoken a little about King Ahaz and his evil ways. But let us get back to the narrative as we find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And sadly, we read there of the consequences of King Ahaz's evil reign. God is angered, and he delivers Judah into the hand of the Syrians. Look at verse 5. "Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. And they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus." Now Syria, even to this day, is an enemy of Israel. And you'll find it northeast of the land of Israel. And Damascus, the city, is there to this day. So there was this inroads of Syria into the kingdom of Judah. And they took away captives. But then there was something else. Look at the rest of that chapter, that verse. And it said, and he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. They had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And this was the punishment of God to them. He delivered 120,000 killed in one day. What a bloody battle and war that was. What rivers of blood flowed in that battle when it was brethren against brethren. when the southern kingdom came up and fought against the northern king, the Israelites against the people of Judah, a great crowd of men were slaughtered. You know, if you think, I don't know how many people are in Portadown or how many people in Lurgan, but I think if you were to take those two towns and all the surrounding district, you wouldn't make 120,000 people living. And that was all in one day destroyed out of Israel. But then I want you to look again at this chapter and see here in verse 8 a further consequence of that battle. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But here is a terrible thing. All these captives, these women, and maybe the old men and the boys and girls, they were taken as captives and carried down south towards the city of Samaria. The spoil would be all the booty and the plunder that could be gotten, the livestock, the food, the clothes, the precious metals. A great treasure, much spoil, was taken and robbed from Jerusalem and its environs. What a calamity to the kingdom of Judah that day. But here I want you to notice, here is what my message is basically about today. But there is a dramatic intervention. Let me read you verses 9, 10, and 11. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with you, with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up to heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bond men and bond women unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. There's very little you can glean in your Bible about this man, Oded. There is another prophet, Oded, who seemed to have lived some many years before. But this Oded just seems to appear in this verse that I can find. We don't know his age. We don't know where he came from, or his tribe, or anything about him. The only fact that we really know about him is his name, and that he was a prophet of the Lord. He was a total unknown in one sense. And here he comes with boldness and with great courage, and he has a message for these returning Israelites from the south. He tells them that the reason for their great victory, the slaughter of the men and the captivity of the women, was not because of their own strength or whatever. The reason was that the wrath of God was against Judah because of their sin, because of wicked King Ahaz. God delivered these, your brethren, into your hand, and you slew them in a rage that reacheth up to heaven. A slaughter that was violent and cruel, And they did it with a great frenzy and a craze. A rage that reached up into heaven. They had an overmastering passion. They must kill and take these prisoners. But God heard. God took note of it. It went into the ears of the Most High God. Not only does Oded give them the true reason why they had such a victory, but then he reproves them for their great rage against their brethren. And he reminds them of their own sin. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? And in verse 11 you will read, and Oded says, hear me and deliver the captives again, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. This prophet's message was a very solemn, startling warning. And he gave good counsel with his warning. But a prophet was there whose name was Oded. Now I want you to consider now for a few moments the effect of this man's message. If you look at verse 12, you'll see that there are the names of four men who were rulers, or we later on read in verse 14, they were princes of the children of Israel in the south. And these men listened to the words of Oded, and they realized something, that they were wrong. And they take bold action, these four men. They have their minds changed. They were turned about. And they turn and stand against the armed men that came from the war. And they say in verse 13, ye shall not bring in the captives hither. You will only add to our sins and trespass. And there is fierce wrath against Israel. And so these men are moved and stirred by the word of the prophet. And so the armed men leave the captives and the spoil before the princes of all the congregation. And the captives are delivered. The captives are delivered. Think of the awful predicament of these poor captive souls. They were pulled out of their homes. And all their goods were stolen. And they were in bondage. No doubt there were families torn apart. Maybe there were women with babies and small children. And we read that many of them were naked. And we read many of them had no shoes on their feet. 200,000 herded together like animals, brought down from their north country to the south. And they were going to be slaves. Their future was going to be dreadfully bleak and awful. They were going to be made slaves and serve with rigor and bondage amongst their own people. They would have no freedom. And of course you all know that a slave is just a possession of the owner. And they would have to do what the owner decreed. And so these people, these 200,000 or so women and children, they no doubt were in great fear because they were in terrible circumstances. And here's what I would believe is the message that God has laid in my heart for us to hear today from this story. Through this message of one man a man called Odette, these 200,000 people are saved. They're set free. They're clothed. And they're cared for. Let me read verse 15 and you will see. And the men which were expressed by name, that is the four men in verse 12, rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, and to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Odette. I want you to observe today with me here from this chapter the power of the declaration of the Word of God, especially by God's own appointed servant, this prophet of the Lord, Odette. This is nothing but the work of God. And it is so rare to see such marvelous results of the preaching of the Word of God. How would you turn the minds of these soldiers away from the gains that they had gotten? The rich treasures that they had. No doubt there were flocks of sheep and herds and gold and silver. How could you turn your men away from that? But it was done! And I say to you, I think nothing but the power of God could do this. Doubtless, this was the operation of the Spirit of God on their hearts. And so today, I want to bring your attention and emphasize the power of the pulpit. Rarely do we see such wondrous effects of the declaration of the Word of God. But it does happen and is altogether possible even today. We can think of other incidents in the Bible. We can think of Jonah, who went to the city of Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, be wiped out. Nineveh believed the prophet. They believed the message. And they repented. And we read there in the very last verse of Jonah that 60,000 children alone were saved through his message that he brought to Nineveh. And then come into the New Testament, you can think of that great day that's in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, when Peter lifted up his voice and he preached concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and in particular the resurrection from the dead, of which he was an eyewitness. And we find that many hearts were pricked, and 3,000 came to trust in the Lord. Oh, God's power is in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is surely the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This morning we greatly miss him. But the Reverend Elliot is God's appointed man in this place. And we as the people of God, as the church congregated here in this place, it is our solemn duty. And I would earnestly beseech thee to continually pray for our minister, that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and that each time he preaches, that something might happen. God's power would be seen in evidence. Maybe not outwardly, but secretly in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And that there might be a turning of heart to God. O dead, Isaiah and Hosea, along with men like Samuel, Elijah, and Daniel, were great prophets of the Lord. And there were also great women as well. Miriam was a prophetess, and Huldah was a prophetess, and Deborah was a prophetess. But what is a prophet or a prophetess? Well, there's many definitions we could make, but I would like to summarily just say this. A prophet is a person who has received a revelation, a message from God, and is sent to speak and write that message to the people concerned. I know prophecy is a vast subject, and there's many things that we could consider about it today. But the word prophecy does not necessarily mean talking about the future. It certainly can entail that in many of the messages of the prophets, where they talk of maybe future judgment or future glory. But it's not necessarily, it's just the message of God that God gave to the people. Now you think of Moses. I have been considering Moses. Moses was an extraordinary prophet of the Lord. And you can read about it yourself, how that he was like no other prophet. God spoke and told to Miriam and Aaron, he said, I speak to other prophets through dreams and visions and other ways. But to Moses, my servant, I speak face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So Moses was a special ambassador and prophet of the Lord. You turn to the book of Leviticus alone and have a look at the many chapters. Start. And the Lord speak unto Moses. He was like a man going to visit his friend when he went to speak to God, and God spoke to him. This narrative that we've thought about today, the prophet Oded and the 200,000 captives that were freed because he spoke up that day and he warned the soldiers and the princes of Israel. And they took action. It reminds me, this passage that we've been considering in 2 Chronicles 28, of a certain passage in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 15, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me quote them to you. He says there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that were bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Does that not make you think of what we have considered this morning? These poor people with the good news and liberty and much given to them and compassion and mercy shown to them, and they getting back to their own home. What a wonderful day that was, and what news that was to them. These words that we have read of the Lord Jesus Christ are actually a quotation from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And he's just quoting there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And the occasion you will recall is when Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. All those 30 years he lived and walked and worked around the city of Nazareth. And here he returns this day. And it tells us he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, that is Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place which was written. Can you imagine this? In your mind's eye, here's this synagogue, this building, which was no doubt full of people. And the Lord Jesus is given this scroll, this word of God. And he opens it up. And he finds the place that we have to do. Even today, opening our Bibles and finding the place. And then he reads those words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. And after he closes the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The scriptures tell us that the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I'd like to speak in closing a little about the prophetic office or function of our Lord Jesus Christ. The great Protestant reformer, the Frenchman who had his great ministry in Geneva, John Calvin, in his classic book, The Institutes, talks about the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was both prophet, priest, and king. And I would suggest and say to you, this is the most excellent way of considering the life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our church standards, the Westminster standards, in the larger catechism, in question 44, it says these words, how doth Christ execute or perform the office of a prophet? And here's the answer. Christ executeth the prophet, the office of a prophet, in his revealing to the church in all ages by his Spirit and Word in divers ways of administration the whole will of God and all things concerning their edification and salvation. In the shorter catechism, question 24, it asks this, the same question. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? The answer is, Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. I would press upon you today to consider, and behold, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great prophet, even in the heavens at this moment. Moses, who was a prophet that we talked about, a prophet who gave us the law of God, said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, as he spoke to the children of Israel, the Lord God, the Lord your God will raise up unto thee a prophet like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. And further down in verse 18, it says, the Lord said, I will raise up a prophet from among thy brethren like unto thee, Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. This promise of God concerning a future prophet is quoted in the New Testament in Acts chapter 3, verse 22. And Peter infers that the fulfillment of this great promise concerning a future prophet was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, time forbids me today to go through many scriptures speaking of Jesus Christ as the prophet of God. Hebrews 1:1 comes a particular of God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, out of the cloud, the voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Jesus Christ is the great revealer of God, especially of the Trinity, and especially of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is called the Word. And we see his doctrine in the Gospels and in the writings of his apostles. The Lord Jesus Christ is a great teacher. I close by cutting it short from what I have here. The Lord Jesus Christ is a great teacher. Are you a disciple today, Christian? A learner? A pupil? A scholar in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, he is an excellent teacher. I learn every day in the school of Jesus Christ. You learn by reading and studying his word and by the Spirit working in your heart and life. Think of those things that David asked of the Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy judgments. Teach me thy word. Teach me thy ways. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to live the life of faith. If you're not a Christian today, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to show you the state of your heart and his great way of salvation. Because we are all born in ignorance and darkness, and we require illumination. We require knowledge. You cannot be saved apart from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus Christ, I say to you, is the prophet of all prophets. Jesus Christ is the priest of all priests. And his sacrifice on the cross is sufficient for every sinner who will come. Jesus Christ is the King of kings. But there was a prophet of the Lord whose name was Oded. There is a prophet of the Lord here today whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless these meditations to our hearts for his name's sake.